Today's daf is daf Kuf Chav Gimel, and we're holding one line up from the bottom of Kuf Chav Beis, Amud Beis. Tana Rabbana. As the Torah tells us, the din of the Bechor is latet lo pi shnayim. Now, there's two ways to understand this. It could mean pi shnayim to give him two-thirds of the estate, in other words, double what everyone else together is getting, or it could mean double of what any one of the other brothers would be getting. And indeed comes along the Braita to teach us, Pishnaim means Pishnaim ki echad, double the portion of any one of the brothers. So basically, if there would be, let's say, three brothers, he would take an additional fourth. We'd split it four ways, give each brother first three, and then he acts as yet an additional brother. As you know, says the Braita, O'enu ela pishnayim b'chol nechasim, maybe it means that he always gets, no matter how many brothers there are, he gets two-thirds, and all the brothers now can split the other third. V'dinu, that the truth is that there's a simple way, even without a pasuk, we could say is that we know it because chalkoim achad v'chalkoim chamisha. Look, I mean, if there's one other brother, so ma chalkoim achad pishnayim keachad, when he divides with one brother, he gets double the portion of that one brother. So av chalko im chamisha, when he was mechalek with five brothers, he should also be getting pishnayim keachad, double the portions of one brother, just like he got when there was only one brother. Or on the other side, says the Braita, we might have learned it like this. O kalach l'derech zo. Look at it from the other point of view. Choko im echad v'choko im chamisha. Okay? He splits, whether it's one brother, he splits with five brothers. Now, when he's cholek im echad, so mal choko im echad, it's by definition, pishnayim b'chol nechasim is getting two-thirds. In other words, double whatever is left besides what he gets. So therefore, av choko im chamisha, when he splits with five, it should also be pishnayim b'chol nechasim. So how do you know to look at it from the point of view of the single brother? Therefore, Talmud Lomar continues the Braita. That's why the pasuk tells us. V'haya bayom hanchilo ed banav, haTorah ripta nachala etzel achim. The Torah now speaks about the hanchala, the day that a person gives now his property over as a bequeathed to his children. So that means the banav are the way the Torah wants us to look at it. Because the truth is, this entire pasuk is not really needed. I mean, after all, it does say beferish the din that kiyata bechor ben asna yakir letet lo pishnayim. So we know we have to give double. So the only point of adding then v'hayab biyoman chilot banav lo yuchal vaker ben ahuva pnei ben asna bechor is to say that if he's giving over a nachala, then let us stress the banim, the other sons, and not the bechors. In other words, they get at least the same amount that he would get. So in other words, we no longer have an option of saying that he would get two-thirds, as opposed to the other getting one-third. Ha'ein alecha ladun kelashon acharon. Therefore, you can't take the last way we looked at it, that maybe he should get two-thirds of the whole thing, ela kelashon harishon, the way we said it the first time. That basically, you're going to take, no matter how many brothers there are, you're going to take the same as you would take with one brother, meaning always kineged one additional brother. So the chelek of the bechora is the same as the chelek of any brother. Furthermore, says the Braita, of course we're going to look into why we need these furthermore. Va'imer, uvnei reuven bechor Yisrael ki hu ha-bechor, uvechalolo yitzuei aviv nitna bechorata levnei Yosef ben Yisrael, v'lo lehityaches la-bechora. This is an interesting pasuk. That Reuven was actually the Bechor born first. But because of the fact that he defiled his father's bed with the whole Maisa of Bilhah, so his Bechorah was given to Bnei Yosef ben Yisrael, but not in the sense of being called the Bechor, but rather he gets the double chelik. So in other words, his two sons are considered to be, as Yaakov Avinu said to him, Ephraim and Manasseh, Geruven v'Shimon Yuli. V'omer, and furthermore, we're going to go through the rayas here. V'omer, and furthermore, it says, Ki Yehuda gavar be'echav u'lenagid mimenu. That Yehuda was actually the strongest from all of his brothers, and from him was to come rulership. V'habechora li'Yosef, but the Bechora was actually Yosef, so not Yehuda. Now, Nemra Bechora Yosef, V'nemra Bechora l'dorot, the word Bechora appears here in the pasuk, and the word bechora is lo mishpata bechora, which is said begabe all bechorot later on in the generation. So just like the word bechora ha'amura liyosef was that he gets pi shnayim ke'echad, because he is, as we'll see, he gets the equivalent of Ruvein v'Shima. So in other words, he gets two chalakim, but not two-thirds of all Eretz Yisrael. Av bechora ha'amura ledorot pi shnayim ke'echad, and therefore the word bechora always means that one additional piece connected one brother. Furthermore, it says, "Vanina tati lecha shchem achad alachecha," that Yaakov Avinu gives to Yosef one chelek. A shchem is a chelek. So one chelek, asher lakachti miyad ha'amori b'charvi uvekashti, that which I took with my own sword and my own bow. By the way, did Yaakov really mean that? Asks the Braita. V'chi b'charbo v'kashto lakach. V'alo kvar ne'amar ki lo v'kashti avtach. V'charbi lo toshieni. I mean, does it make sense that Yaakov Avinu would say, connect the pasuk in Tehillim, that a person has to feel that it's not his sword that he can rely on, and that he can't actually look at his bow and his arrow and his sword as being real ways of being kena. Ella, what he must have meant, Yaakov Avinu b'charbi v'kashti, is as the Targum says, Charbi is his tefillot, and Kashti is his bakashot. Kashti is a bakasha. And Lamaisa, these are connected. The Kalim of Esav and of Yishmael who also tied it, that they had the rights to take that chelek. So the cherev, of course, is al karbachatichya. Ubekashti is the rove kashat, which was a reference to Yishmael. Now, we have we brought a very nice raya right from the beginning, which was Vayaba Yoman Chilo. So what are all these va'omers? What was wrong with the Vayaba Yoman Chilo? Because v'chitimai, if you're going to tell me that pasuk Vayaba Yoman Chilo is to tell me goof for the din of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, who the ata, that we said yesterday, that if a person has various yorshim, he has a right to give one of those who are anyway going to be yoresh the entire Yerusha. So it's coming to tell me that halacha, that a man has an ability to be morishet banav, and you can't use it to come to tell me the din of how large the chelek bechora is. Tashma, therefore, I'm bringing you another pasuk, uvenei ruvein bechor Yisrael. And so it says, "Nitna bechorato." So that means that bechorato is basically to be like Reuven v'Shimon for the Bnei Yosef. It's exactly the same halacha that we see in every bechor. Obviously, we're not really coming to learn it out from Divrei Hayamim, from anywhere in Ksuvim, because you can't really learn out it in Gzeira Shava. But this is a Gilui Milta B'Alma. In other words, we're learning it out from Din of Pishnai. Except we don't know how exactly to measure that pishtayim semimela. We look in the way in which the Torah uses that in general. So what objection would you have to that you need yet another pasuk? Because v'chidem, and maybe you'll say, bechora mi bechora tolo gamrina. These are not the same words, and maybe indeed the Torah uses them differently. Therefore I need to bring you actually the word v'ha bechora. Tashma v'abichora liyosef, and that's kilo mishpat habichora, and it's exactly the same word that we have in the Torah. Now, maybe you'll say, v'chitema, why do I need yet another pasuk? Because v'chitema Yosef gufa mimayde pishnayim ke'echad havi, how do you know indeed that the chelik of Yosef was only double one brother? Tashma v'anina tatilecha shchem echad al achecha. So there Yaakov is stressing that it's only one additional piece. Amalei of Papa Labayev is saying that it's a piece. So how do you know it means connected even one of the brothers? Maybe he's just saying, Himadikla Bialma. Maybe he gave Yosef one extra palm. In other words, a tiny piece of land. But who's to say that it was really the size of an entire shevet? Amalei, what do you mean? That's Alech HaMakra. Fraimu Menasheke Ruvein V'Shimon Yuli. Obviously, Ruvein V'Shimon are two shvatim. So it's saying that he, Yosef, was like Reuven v'Shimon. That is obvious. Boy, me, Rav Chelbo, Rav Shmuel bar Nachmini, Mara a Yaakov shenatal b'chora mi'Reuven nitana liYosef. What indeed was the reason that Yaakov Avinu took away the b'chora from Reuven to give to Yosef? What kind of question is that? Mara a, it says in a pasuk. Uvechala lo yitzuei aviv, right? Isn't that what it writes? K'tiv? So that means that was the reason that he felt that he wasn't right to be a b'chora. No, that's, of course, I wasn't asking that. I was saying, Elamar Rashi Natana Yosef. But why to Yosef? Ah, that's your question. Says Rav Shmuel bar Achmei to him, I'll explain it to him. Shalach HaMashal. Look, see it like this following parable. L'ma HaDavar Domeh. L'bal HaBayit Shegidel Yatom B'toch Beito. You have a guy who brings an orphan into his home and raises him. Yamim Heshir Oto Yatom. After a while, that Yatom became rich. The Omar, so he says, Ante L'bal HaBayit Mirchasai. You know, if I'm rich, it makes sense for me to try to share my good fortune with the guy who raised me. So the same thing is true over here. Yosef basically took care of everything for his family and for his father. So the moment that Yaakov Avinu had something that he could give to Yosef, and that was to give him the Bechorah, he did. Omar Lei. So Reb Chalba says, in other words, you're saying that this was the only thing you would give to Yosef. What if Reuven hadn't done any averas? So he loved the chatar Reuven lo mahani lo Yosef lo midam. So then the mashal no longer makes sense, and he wouldn't have given him anything. And then you're saying he wouldn't have taken the bechor. So in other words, he's pointing out that there was nothing here that Yaakov had really given to Yosef. It's just that he's basically taking it away from the other brothers, because it wasn't going to be given to Reuven because of the chet of Reuven. It would be split between the brothers. So then there's nothing that he is showing his hakaras teva to Yosef by giving it to him. The mashal sort of breaks down. I mean, here the whole idea was he was taking care of the balabayit, which is his father. There's got to be some other reason, therefore, that he gave it to Yosef, because there was another sense of giving something to Yosef for his own personal hakaras teva. So therefore, El Rabbi Yonatan Rab Chalba Lokach. So Rab Chalba says, truth is, that's probably why your Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, he didn't say that that was the pshat. What he said was, Uya, Haita Bechora Latzit Mirachel, that actually it was only right Lechatchila that it should have come from Rachel. She was really the one that should have born Reshit Ono. Because Dichtiv Ela Toldot Yaakov Yosef. So here you see that the entire Toldos, which is the Reshit Ono of Yaakov, was in terms of Yosef. Why then did Reuven come along? Because Leah was Kadmata Leah Barachamim. Because of her tefillot, that she shouldn't fall to Esav, as we'll see, she got married ahead of Rachel. But because that entire thing was only achieved because of the tzniut of Rachel, who didn't expose the simanim, as we're going to see in a moment, so because of that, it was only right that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give it to Rachel. When you say Kadmata le'Abrahamim, what exactly do you mean? My Kadmata le'Abrahamim, Dichtiv, the Torah writes, Ve'inei le'a rakot. Now, I mean, what does rakot mean? That, like, their ugly eyes, they're all red and swollen. Mayrakot, I mean, Mayrakot mamash. Does that make sense that the Torah would mention that she had teary eyes? I mean, Efshe begnut beimat meyalo diber hakatov. I mean, the Torah wouldn't even say opening that a non-kosher animal is tamei. It would say it's not Torah. Dechtiv, mina beimat Torah, mina beimat sheinena Torah. And so it goes all the way around and saying the negative, and an animal that is not tohar. It's a bignut tzadikim diberakatov. You're saying that the pasuk wouldn't have hesitated to tell us something wrong about Leah? Elo amar Rabbi Elazar, what it means is that they're rakot, that is to say, arukot. So it means shematenoteha arukot. It means that she had basically the einaim of Klal Yisrael, which was the Beis HaMikdash, and the Sanhedrin, and the Malchus, and so all those things really came from Leah. But the things that, I mean, Rachel had, all right. I mean, there was a little bit of Malchus from Rachel, of course. There was Shoal, but, I mean, that wasn't exactly the Einayim that stretched across the Dorot. This was something that was therefore Arukot, when it comes to life. So what it says is that her eyes, the Kayach of Din, the Kayach of Leadership, the Kayach of Sanhedrin, were Arukot. The other pshat is, Rav Amar, no. It means exactly what it says, but it's not saying anything wrong. On the contrary, it's something saying something special. Lolam rakot mamash v'lav gnayula, ela shevachula. On the contrary, this is saying something that is special about Leah, that it shows what a great tzaddikah she was. Shaita shomata parshat rachim bnei adam shayu omrim. She would listen to people that would travel around, and people were saying, just as a matter of assumption, shnei banim yesh al Rivka, shtei banot yesh al Lavan. Interesting family. Basically, they match up. The daughters of Lavan, and Rivka's got the son, so clearly they're just going to marry them to each other, and the Gdola will go to the Gadol, so Leah, the older daughter, will go to the oldest son, Esa, and the younger daughter, Rachel Ktana, will go to the younger son, to Lekatan Yaakov. So she took advantage of the situation to try to find out something about her prospective husband. So tell me about the older guy. Gadol mama asav. Oh, whew, ish rahu. Yeah, rotten guy, molest embryos, he steals. And the younger son, katan mama asav. Oh, he's great. Ish tam yoshevo alim. She would cry, aita bocha. She cried so much at shen nashru riseinea. It shows that she cried to the point where her eyelashes fell out and she looked really not that great, that we're all teary-eyed. So Mimela, that let everybody know that she was a tzaddikus who wouldn't accept someone who wasn't on her madrega. V'hayna dechtiv. That also explains the pasuk, V'yah Hashem ki snu'a le'a. You're going to tell me snu'a? What does that mean? Ilim es snu'a mamash? Efshar b'gnud b'imat v'yah lo dibera katuv b'gnud tzaddikim dibera katuv. We're going to talk about chas v'shalom, such a breakdown. That Yaakov Avinu hated his wife, and that she was a hated woman, it's impossible to believe. Ela ra'a kadosh baruch hu shesnu'im ma'aseh b'faneha. Snu'a le'a means that Leah was a woman who hated what he hated. And because of that, vayiftachet rachma, that was her schus. And now she gave birth to the first Reuven. Now, you mentioned a moment ago that mitocha tzniut sheita b'barachel, she got that schus. What was this tzniut? My tzniut sheita b'barachel. Dechtiv ayaged Yaakov l'rachel ki achi aviyohu v'chi ben rivkal. Yaakov Avinu says, you know that I'm your father's brother, the son of Rivka. Now, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Obviously, he was not the father's brother. If he's saying himself that he's Rivka's son, alo ben achot aviyohu, so he's really a nephew. Ella Amarla, what must have happened is like this. We know he ran over and he kissed her. I mean, clearly he wanted to marry her. So he's telling her, Amarla, Minasavatli, will you marry me? Amarle, so she said to him, of course I would marry you, but it ain't going to happen. Because miu abaramahu veloyachalatle. My father is like the world famous rami, and he'll figure out some way that it's not going to happen. Amarla, so he asked her, my Rama Uto, I mean, what could he possibly do? I mean, it's either a deal or it's not a deal. Amarla, it's not so simple. Itli achata de kashish. I mean, I've got an older sister. And he'll use that as an excuse that obviously he couldn't give me to you. So velo mansevali mekamai. He's not going to let me get married before she gets married. Amarla, so somehow or other he's going to trick you. Amarla, so he said, I'm not worried about his tricks. I'm Achi Avia, meaning I am Achi Vani Barama Ut. I'm just his perfect match when it comes to being deceitful. So she asked him, what? Mishoilu the tzaddik le sagui Barama Ut? You're telling me that a person who's a tzaddik is allowed to go and to be an expert at deceit? He said to her, absolutely. It's a posik. Im davar ti tavar. If you're with a person who's clear and clean, then that's the way you have to act. But im ikesh, when you're with somebody who is crooked, then ti tapal. So then you do the same thing. Make yourself crooked. So they figured out a way to prevent him being fooled. Masala simanim. So he gives her particular signs that she can use to make certain that it's her. And that way, if Leah were put in instead of her, so then they would know that it was Leah. So when the time came and they're bringing Leah in to the wedding to be the replacement for Rachel, so Savra Rachel says, oh my God, Hashtem mikas vachtai. So what's going to happen now is that this is going to be a horrifically embarrassing moment for my sister. Yaakov is going to use the secret code. She's not going to know it. He's going to raise a stink. The whole place is going to be talking about the fact that he doesn't want to marry Leah. I can't do that. So Misartinu niala. So she gave over the simani to Leah. Vahinu dechtiv. Vahi baboker minei Leah. That's the meaning of the pasuk. It says in the morning she was Leah. What do you mean in the morning? Because Michlal darash alav Leah. What are you saying? That she wasn't Leah until the morning? Indeed. Elamitoch simanim shemasar la Yaakov la Rachel misarata leLeah lo havayada lehada yishata. In other words, indeed, the whole night long, it was clear to him that she was Rachel, not Leah, until he actually could see her in the morning. What do you mean, Abba Khalifa, Kiruya? Abba Khalifa, who comes from Kiruya, asked Rabchia bar Abba, when you count the people that came down with Yaakov Avinu, they don't seem to equal the Shivim Nefesh that the Torah says were Yored, because Michlalan Atamotzei Shivim. When the Torah says the number as just the total, it's 70. But when you add up the people that are listed, Bifratan, Atamotzei Shivim Chaser Achat, all there are 69. So how in the world are we supposed to explain this? Now, clearly the missing one has got to come from Leah, because it says the total number of Leah is 33, and that's where the problem comes, because if you count the names that of those that came with Leah, it's only 32. So what's the deal? Omar Lai said, Rukhi Abaraba, to Omar Haita Imdina. There must have been a twin sister here. And we don't list her name. Dichtiv ve'eit dinabito. So the ve'eit is always a remez that there was something batel to the dinabito. Says the Gemara, does that make sense? Elamiyata, Abba Khalifa Seter. If that's true, then you'd have to use the same word to mean that there was a to'omaita in Binyamin, because there you find exactly the same lashon. And of course, then that would ruin the shivim, because it says ve, there too, it says ve'eit Binyamin. It says the lotion of, it doesn't really say that, but it says, Vaisa Einav Vayar Et Binyamin, not Ve'et Binyamin. Et Binyamin Achiv Benimo. So Et Binyamin is an additional person, no? Hey, said Reb Chiya Bar Abba, that's terrible. Okay, you figured out that I didn't tell you the real pshat. All right, I'm going to tell it to you, but I sure didn't want to share it with a guy like you. Omar Margalito Vai Tabiyadi, I had this really precious jewel in my own hands, and now you're gonna force me to lose it. Because yeah, once you know about it, then yeah, it's gonna be cheapened. You tell it to everybody. Atamavakesh Labdami Mini. Hachi Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina. Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina said the real pshat is that the 70th person is Yocheved. Shai Horata Baderach, she was conceived on the way down from Eretz Canaan to Eretz Mitzrayim, but Leidata Ben Achomot, she was born as they entered into Mitzrayim. Shenemar Asher Yalda Otala Levi B'Mitzrayim. So the Leida, it says over here, was B'Mitzrayim. So Leidata B'Mitzrayim, but Horata was not B'Mitzrayim. Beautiful Diak. And in fact, she must have been born right around when they came into Mitzrayim. And that's why she's not mentioned, because before that time, when we were counting, she was not born yet. She was still a vlad. Boy, mirei Rabbi Chalbo, mirei Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmini. K'tiv on the one hand, vayi kasher yalda Rachel et Yosef. And somehow that caused now this whole upheaval, because up until then Yaakov was perfectly happy, and then all of a sudden it says when Rachel now started giving birth and she had Yosef. So on one hand, all of the children with Leah, everything is fine. He never wanted to leave. But now the moment Vayikashir Yadar Achalat Yosef, Yaakov runs to Lavan and he says, Shalcheni, it's time I have to leave. V'elchal b'komiyo artzi. How do you explain that? Marishnakit Yalid Yosef, that now he had to leave. Omar Leis, Roshum Arachmini said, because Yaakov Avinu had an avias. Ra'a Yaakov Avinu, she'in zaro she'leisav dimtsar ela biyad zaro shel Yosef. He saw that Esav, that he had to go back to, would only fall into the hands of Yosef. Shenemar v'haya Beit Yaakov eishu Beit Yosef la'ava, u'Beit Esav la'kash. So the Beit Yaakov is a fire, but the Beit Yosef is the flame. And it's the flame that causes kash, straw, which is what Esav is compared to here, to burn. So Memele, he waited until Yosef was born, and then he felt he was roi to go back now to Esav. Eight ways Reb Chalbo Esten, from the fact that it says Vayakim David Mihaneshef Viada Erev Lamochrotam, so that in the war with Amalek, David now was beating them from the evening until the next evening. Now David was not from Yosef. David was from Yehuda, and nonetheless he was the one that was fighting Amalek. I thought you said that you need Yosef to fight Amalek. Omar Leitzer Shmuel Nachmani said to him, well, I see you had a good teacher for Nevi'im, but you didn't have a very good teacher for Ksuvim. Da'akaryach Nevi'ai lo'akaryach Ketuvei. Dechtiv, because there it becomes clear where it says, Belechto el Tziklag naflu alav mimenashe. So this is all different way. This is the same story in Divrei HaYamim. And over there it says that on it, his way there, people from Menashe joined up with him. And that was Adnach, and Yozavad, and Yediael, Michael, Yozavad. This was another Yozavad that are listed as being in two different places, a few psukim before, Ve'elihu, Ve'tziltai. So all of these were Roshei Alafim Asher Menashe. So since the Bnei Yosef, in this case Menashe, joined up with him, that explains why he was able to destroy Amalek. Masiv Rav Yosef, Umihem, Min Bnei Shimon, Ochul Ha'ar Anashim Chamesh Meot. So how do you explain now this other pasuk? Here it says that Shimon was able to fight Amalek too. Because it says that they went to Har Seir, which is the area of Esau, and they took Anashim Chamesh Meot, including Uflatia, Na'aria, Rafaya, Uziel, Bnei Yish'i, Broshaam, Vayakut, Sherita, Pleital, Amalek, Vayishvusham, Adayom Hazeh. They destroyed all of the Bnei Amalek who had managed to escape, that were living there until that day. So if it requires Yosef to destroy Amalek, how is it that Shimon was able to destroy Amalek? Omar Rabba Bar Shila, that's because Yish'i, that it says over here, Bnei Yish'i, Yish'i happens to come from Menashe, very clearly, it's a pasuk. Tichtiv uvnei Menashe, chefer v'yish'i. You can't get clearer than that, except for the fact, of course, that there's no such pasuk, but it would have been nice. Okay, I mean, there is a similar pasuk, and that's going to have to be good enough for us, which is uvnei chatzi shevet Menashe. There it says Yish'i. Okay, so now getting back to the halachas of the Bechor. So we say throughout the Masechta that a Bechor is Naitel Pishnayim, but he's Naitel Pishnayim only in that which is Muchzak, Bechol HaShayimatzeloi, and not in anything that came into the Rishus of the estate after the father had already died. That is split evenly between all the brothers. Now here the Braita says, so Tana Rabbanan, a Bechor Notel Pishnayim Bezrobik Lechayayim Bevekeva. So one of the gifts that needs to be given to the kohen are the zroa, which is the right leg, foreleg, and the jaw, and one of the stomachs. And this is called the matones. Stam, when we talk about matones, we mean zroa l'chayayim v'keva from chulin. So if the father dies, the bechor gets to take the chelik bechera also out of the zroa l'chayayim v'keva, and he also gets to take uvimugdashim. So if there were karbonis, and again, we don't know what this means exactly right now, but if there were karbonis that belonged to the father, so he gets a chelek becher. And, b'shevach sheshavchu nechasim lachar mitat aviyem. That if there was now an increase in value to the property, even though it takes place after the father died, nonetheless, it is considered to be, on some level, muchzak and not roi. Now, of course, we need to get into the details of this, because on the surface, it doesn't really make sense. So, let's take a look at this last piece now, and this is in the Brayis itself, ketzad, the shevach that the property accrues in value after the death of the father. What would be that case, ketzad? Hiniach lemaviyam para muhkeret, muskeret biyad achrim. Let's say the father left them a cow that was now in Rishus of somebody else. Muhkeret means that there's a share agreement, so that the shepherd takes care of it, and then they split profits. Muskeret is the actual rental that is coming in for that cow. Or for that matter, a cow that was left out on its own in the forest. Haita ro'ah ba'afar. Afar actually means like a marshy area. V'yalda, and now this cow goes ahead and has a calf. So the din is that a bechor is notal pishnayim in that additional value as well, even though it didn't exist when the father was alive. Because since all of this was a natural growth, and there was no need for any type of investment to get it done, so it's considered to be like an extension of the cow itself that the father was mochzik in. So that means that anything that you don't have to invest in is considered to be a continuation of that which was muhzik b'chayei ha'av. And we're going to see later on that that's really a machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbana. Okay, in a case where, so in cases like that, the bechor is notal pishnayim, but in a case where avu banu batim, let's say that they improved the property by building on it, or notu kramim, that, of course, requires investments, even though that investment came directly from the estate. Nonetheless, ein bechor noto pishnayim, in such a case, that's considered to be not muhzik at all by the father. And that he wouldn't get more than any other brother. Now, Says the Gemara, let's take a look at the Braita from the beginning. Haizra lechayayim v'keiva, that you're talking about over here. Well, what was the case? I mean, if the father already got his Zerah L'chayim v'keiva, so obviously he gets Pishlayim, and what's the difference between that and anything else the father owns? Who cares where it comes from? So either Ati L'dei Avuhon, while the father was alive, it was already given to him, so then Pshita, why wouldn't it be? It was completely Mufzik by the father. V'delo Ati L'dei Avuhon, and if L'maisa, it was given to the Rishus, of the joint Rishus, of the Yerusha, after the father died, even by somebody who told the father, I'm going to be giving it to you, and so on, then it isn't mukhsa. Then it really is just ra'ui. So why would they get it? It's a mamon of shech. Either it's pshita, or it's straight out wrong, because ein ha-bachor notel, but ra'ui can be mukhsak. The din is that a bachor does not get that chilek. Answers the Gemara, we're talking about a special case. The Bright is referring to makirei kuna. So hachal makirei kuna askina. Makirei kuna means people that are so close to the Kohen, to a particular Kohen, that they will never give their matanes to anyone but that Kohen. So that means that even the moment that they do the Maaser of Shechita, at that moment it's as if, even though normally you need a Kenyan, in cases of Makirei Kuna, there's a Rabbanan that holds that you don't need to make a kinyan. It's as if it's already religious to the Kohen. So therefore, what's talking about over here is that it was ishchat b'chayi de'avuhan. So the animal was shechted while the father was alive. And furthermore, the Tana, the Braisa holds, kasav matan shlomu k'mishur mudam. He holds like the Mandi Omer that says, there's a Mandi Omer who holds that even before, this is what it's talking about over here, is that they never even took it out. It was just nishchat. So there's a machlokas about whether the matanes that haven't yet been taken out are as if they are taken out already. So memela, in this case, the moment that you go in and do the shechita, and at that point already there's a chiyuv to take off the Zerah L'chayayim v'keiva, so at that moment it's as if they're already sitting there in a separate container, and therefore, if they're makirei kuhuna, it is already ki'ilu in the rishus of the kohen. And then you said mukdashim. What would be the case of the mukdashim? Where would you get pishtayim of mukdashim? L'chora mukdashim b'chlal don't belong to a father. Lavdi deininu. So, I mean, over there, if somebody has a korban in his rishos, it's not his. I mean, it's possible that it's his in terms of the yorshim being able to bring him to the Beis HaMikdash. But certainly not to be theirs. If you have, let's say, Basur of Kachim, so it comes Mishulchan Gavoah, certainly not going to be considered to be the personal Rishus of the father that we should say he should take Mishnayim. It says the Gemara, it is. If you hold that we're talking about in case of Kachim Kalin, and you hold the Alibid Rabbi Yossi Aglili that we've discussed many times, who holds Kachim Kalim are considered to be Mamun Baili, the fundamental case where that's true is in the Braita, the Tanya, where it says, Umu'alam al ba'ashem. So here the Torah is talking about a case where somebody swears falsely that he doesn't owe money. And then he comes and he's made it, that he kept that money, took the money, and he denied ever having that money. So he has to pay over there an additional chaymesh, and he has to bring a korban asher. So the lashon of the pasuk is nefesh ki techata mu'alam al ba'ashem. Which is a funny lashon of me'ila da'ashem. We're talking about a yachid, a regular person over here. V'kichesh ba'amito, b'pikadon, b'tzumet yad, b'gazel. So what is the meaning of the lashon u'mu'ala? It's now against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I thought it's talking about against another person. It's coming to teach me, l'rabbis kachim kalim, that even though normally you do not take now a shvua for hegdesh, but where it's kachim kalim, that has a din shein mamon baalim. That is a din of being hedyot's money. And therefore, taina is Rabbi Yossi Aglili, you would have to bring a korban asham. Let's say he had a korban shlomim. And as long as the owner has not yet shechted it, so it's considered to be his. Afterwards, then we split it. Fine. The parts that are going to go on the mizbeach, the parts that are going to go to the kohanim, obviously do not belong to him. But there's certainly mamon in the korban that says, Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So according to him, if a person had a behemah of kachim kalim that he was going to bring, let's say now as a korban shlamim, and then he died, say his bechor takes a chelik bechora in that case. He niach lehem avihin. How about in a case where their father left them? Now we said a parah that was muhkeret and muskeret biyad acherim. Oisha hita ro'a be'efer.
or it was out in the marsh, v'yalda b'chor noto pishnai. Ask the Gemara, the din is clear, but I mean, what would be the point of saying the case where it was ro'ah ba'afar? I mean, if you're telling me even a case of muhkeret or muskeret, so in that case, the animal is not in his rishus. There's just a deal. There's money coming in because somebody rented the animal or because they have a joint venture in the vladais. But even in that case, where it's lav rishuti debara didu kaima. So you think if it's not even in his rishus, he couldn't be considered a mochzik on it. Nonetheless, you're saying he is a mochzik. And Amar Shakil, he takes it. So obviously, if it's raw about farmi boy, over there, it's mamish and it's rishus. Of course it would be mochzik and not ro'ui. What would be the point of mentioning these other cases? Says the Gemara Kamash Malan. The chiddush over here is that muhkeret u muskeret has to be similar to the case of ro'ah ba'afar. Because the point of ro'ah ba'afar is that it's growing on its own. Nobody's feeding it, nobody's working with it, it's out at pasture. And the muhkeret u muskeret has to be the same way. That just like ma ro'ah ba'afar, it's talking about shvach de memele ka'ati, the only thing now that comes into the estate happens all on its own. So that's just a natural increase. It's eating, and as a child. And now the estate did not have any kind of involvement in it, didn't have to feed them in any way. So then it's considered to be a shvacha that's memela. That is the case also by muhkeret u'muskeret. If it's shvacha to memela ka'ati, fine. But that's only where there's no money and no tircha that's going on that the estate has to provide. So it's lo chasru mazone. But in a case where, let's say, the mazon, the food for the animal, is coming directly from the estate, then it would not be considered to be the equivalent of the ro'ah ba'afar at all. And that is exactly the point that we're making over here. And the chiddush, why Bichlal need to tell me? I mean, if you would have just told me the case of ro'ah ba'afar, I would have understood that that's what's meant. Says the Rashbam, no, not true. Because I would have thought that if I talk about over here a muhkeret and muskeret, I wouldn't have known without mentioning it that the rent or the profit that somebody is working for is considered to be natural, even though the brothers themselves aren't part of that work. I would have thought that when you're talking about shvacha memela, that means that nobody is working on it. Nobody has to feed it. Kamashma, that it's purely a din in the estate, and that otherwise it's considered to be a muhsak by the father.